You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And welcome back, everybody. Another edition here of the Auburn Undercover Podcast on the 24/7 Sports Network. My name is Nathan King, coming to you here from Spokane, Washington, where, shockingly, Auburn is one and done in this year's NCAA tournament. Ends up being the program's worst upset in the tournament in terms of opponent seeding. They fall here in round one on Friday, 78-76, to Yale. Yale, of course, the 13 seed here in the East region, and Auburn was the number 4 seed. It came after Kentucky lost the previous day to a 14 seed. And so, you know, Auburn, I think, might be a little bit thankful that happened. Otherwise, the Tigers might be the talk of the first weekend here in terms of upsets. But, you know, at the end of the day, this was obviously such a disappointing result for the Tigers because of what they felt like they could be. Going into March Madness, you had a team that was just coming off an SEC championship. I mean, it was less than a week ago that the Tigers were in Nashville, won 3 games there, were riding high, won 6 straight games. Obviously from the end of the regular season going into Nashville, their last loss before today was that game at Tennessee in Knoxville, where you felt like Auburn played a really, really good game on the road, scored 84 points there, and was probably, you know, if Dalton Connect had just a decent game there, they would have pulled off a really big SEC road win. So this is an Auburn team that was playing really well for the better part of the last 3 or 4 weeks. And that's why they were such a trendy pick in so many people's brackets, even in a region with UConn, potential matchup there in the Sweet 16. So many people were high on Auburn's chances. And many people have thought this was Bruce Pearl's deepest Auburn basketball team, thought that it was his best Auburn basketball team. Obviously, it is his deepest. There's a lot of things, the best defensive team he's had here at Auburn. Now, are they as talented as the Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler team? No. And obviously, did they make as deep of a run as the Final Four team? No. But, according to maybe some other parameters, especially the numbers, this felt like it was an opportunity for Auburn to use its depth and use its experience to make a run here in the tournament. All of that is for naught, though, because this Auburn team bowed out after just one game. It is the first round loss for Bruce Pearl as Auburn's basketball coach. He's now 4-1 in those games. And this is Auburn's first loss in an opening round NCAA tournament game since the field expanded to 64. Their only opening game loss in the tournament was back in 1984 when they lost to Richmond, but that was before the tournament expanded. Since the tournament expanded, they were previously 11-0 in round of 64 games, but no longer after what is probably the second biggest upset of the weekend so far. Definitely the second biggest upset, of course, of the opening round games, probably just behind Oakland defeating Kentucky. You can pretty much trace this loss all the way back to the opening minutes of the game. Chad Baker-Mazzara was ejected for Auburn less than 3 minutes into the ballgame, or excuse me, just a little bit over 3 minutes into the ballgame. It was an unfortunate situation for him, particularly because actually his father came in from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic, surprised him at the team hotel on Thursday. Chad Baker-Mazzara has talked to us this season about, he's in his fourth year in college at four different institutions, and it's been difficult for him in the States ever since he came to the States for his parents to come see his games, just because of the travel distance. 3,300 miles from the Dominican Republic to Spokane, Washington. And unfortunately, his dad only got to watch him play a couple minutes because he was called for a flagrant 2 foul. Auburn was running in transition, and he threw an elbow at a Yale player. Kind of felt like that was maybe a bit of a time bomb from the past several games. Of course, Chad Baker-Mazzara is an emotional leader for this team and somebody that Bruce Pearl certainly doesn't put a blanket on his emotions and his passion and the way he plays. I've said it on this podcast multiple times this season, but Bruce Pearl wouldn't sign and bring in emotional and passionate players if he didn't want them to be emotional and passionate. But at the same time, the other side of that coin is that he had been pushing the envelope with opposing players and officials. There was that situation with DJ Jeffries in the Mississippi State game going back to the SEC tournament. And now this is, I believe it's eight or nine games in a row, going back to that Tennessee game, because when Bruce Pearl got a tech in that game, that Auburn has either gotten a technical foul or a flagrant foul in a game. So that tossed Chad Baker-Mazzara. He was tossed from the game. You can go back and look on replay. The Yale player, his name was August Mahoney, you could see the previous possession that he sort of pushed off from Chad Baker-Mazzara when they were running in transition. Sort of pushed off, trying to give himself a little bit of space as Yale was pushing the ball down the floor. Chad Baker-Mazzara didn't like that. It was right in front of an official. The official didn't call it. And then on the following possession, just sort of retaliated. That's what Bruce Pearl said after the game, not making an excuse for it, of course. And obviously he condemned that behavior by Chad Baker-Mazzara. But he did sort of point to the point in the game where it was instigated. And why is that important? I mean, Chad Baker-Mazzara is Auburn's third leading scorer. Bottom line, he's a player who creates a lot for this offense. He shot 50% from three-point range over the last 10 games, 12.5 points per game over the last 10 games. Had really become sort of a revelation for this offense since being inserted into the starting lineup. He's a big reason why Auburn played some of its best offensive basketball of the season down the stretch there. And the biggest thing was, though, that when Auburn got into a bit of a rut at the end of the game, and we'll talk about that here in a minute, Bruce Pearl said it. He said, look, from a just simply offensive, playmaking perspective, there are not many players on this team that can sort of just break you down off the dribble like Chad Baker-Mazzara can. And so when Auburn, their half-court offense started to stall, this wasn't the best game for Auburn's point guards. Aiden Holloway went 0-5 from the floor. Trey Donaldson was just 2-7 in this game. Both of them had a turnover, and things got kind of stagnant there late in the second half. You missed somebody like Chad Baker-Mazzara being out there. And also, Auburn's game plan here, and Bruce Pearl admitted it. He said, look, we had to change up the game plan because of the way the lineup was being fluctuated, or rather that it did fluctuate. Of course, you started with Baker-Mazzara being out, and then Auburn got in foul trouble. And that was another sort of point of this game, was it felt like Auburn was playing from behind the entire time in terms of the officiating. Yale entered the bonus in the first half with 13 minutes to go. In the second half, they entered the bonus with 14 minutes to go. Now, Auburn got pretty fortunate in terms of Yale's free throw shooting. The Bulldogs don't draw a bunch of fouls. They normally are a team that does not shoot a bunch of free throws. I believe this is only the third or fourth time all season they've shot more than 30 free throws in a game. They were 21 of 31. They entered the game number 331 nationally in free throw rate. And so Bruce Pearl said the biggest key for this team in their postseason success was going to be their ability to defend without fouling. And they obviously struggled in a big way to do that, but not just defense. Every time they went for a 50-50 ball, it felt like there was a foul called. And again, just felt like they were playing from behind, felt like the officiating wasn't on their side. Obviously, the Auburn fans in the building didn't agree with a lot of it, but at the same time, you know, players said after the game, you know, they're not going to blame it on that. Of course, they had a lot of opportunities to make plays themselves. Jahni Broome was excellent in this game. This is one of his better games of the entire season for a guy who was a third-team All-American, 24.7-10 from the floor, 13 rebounds, 4 assists. He really was the biggest playmaker for Auburn down the stretch there. He was making some insane passes out of double teams. When Auburn built that 10-point lead in the second half, it was two assists by Broome that led to three-pointers. That was a big reason why. Going back to Chad Baker-Mazzara, you know, Yale was able to go on a run early in the game. It kind of stunned Auburn. You know, Dylan Cardwell told us after the game that it just slowed the game down. Auburn felt like they were moving quickly, which is not what Yale wants to do. Yale wants to play a slow and steady type of pace, while obviously Auburn wants to push it up and down the floor. Felt like that just kind of threw them out of their rhythm. After a strong start to the game, Auburn went up 10-2 early. Felt like they were maybe gaining a little bit of early control. Yale went on a run, took a lead about midway through the first half, but Auburn stabilized a bit. They actually led by 7 at halftime, and you were kind of thinking, okay, you know, this team kind of has it together, and if they can just play their game in the second half, then they're going to have a good chance to pull away for a win. Even after Yale went on a 10-0 run with John, I believe, Pulakitis, if I'm not pronouncing that correctly, I apologize. I didn't watch the broadcast or anything like that. Probably should have looked it up before we started recording. But even with a couple three-pointers by that guy, who was one of the best players probably on the floor in this game, had a game-high 28 points. We'll talk about his impact later on. But even with a couple three-pointers by him in the early stages of the second half, Auburn was still able to build a 10-point lead at one point. They had a 12-2 run in the second half. Denver Jones hit a big three-pointer on the wing to put Auburn up by 10. Yale coach James Jones had to call a timeout, and you were kind of feeling at that point in the game like, okay, this is where Auburn makes their run. This is where they start to pull away down the stretch, and this is where they kind of get, you know, another comfortable double-digit lead that they're used to. I was actually talking to somebody next to me who said he hadn't watched a single Auburn basketball game all season. He was a reporter, just a sports reporter at the local Spokane newspaper, and he was talking about sort of that part of the game, and he was talking about Auburn's depth, and I told him, I said, yeah, you know, all season we get to this point midway through the second half, and it finally feels like, you know, three-fourths of the game has gone by. It's at this point where it usually starts to feel like this is where Auburn can pull away. They can use that depth and that experience to be a really, really big advantage down the stretch. It certainly felt like we were getting to that point, but boy, credit to Yale. I mean, absolutely did not go away. Even in the final few minutes where you still felt like Auburn was going to win this game, you know, they're up by 6 with 3 minutes left, you know, they're up by 4 with 2 minutes left, you know, and they obviously had control of the game. They were in the driver's seat, and Yale was trying to play catch up. They just didn't go away. Those guards for Yale, an experienced team, hit a lot of big shots. Danny Wolf is the 7-footer for Yale that Auburn really won that matchup down low. Jahni Broome and Jalen Williams made life really hard on him. Jahni Broome really won that matchup. Wolf only shot 4 of 15 in the game, but even he made a three-pointer late in the game as Yale was on the comeback trail. And then things really started to crumble for Auburn. So Auburn led Yale by 10 points with 7:27 left in the game. For the rest of the game, kind of looking at Auburn's, you know, how things kind of fell apart there. For the rest of the game, with 7:27 remaining, Auburn missed 6 of its last 9 shots in the game, committed 6 turnovers during that time span, including 3 straight possessions at one point. And the biggest one, I don't know if biggest is the right word, but it certainly felt like free throw shooting doomed Auburn. And this is going to be, I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but for most of the season, this was Bruce Pearl's best free throw shooting team at Auburn. And so for it to end the way it did at the foul line is obviously very, very disappointing for them. They missed 2 of their last 7 shots, or excuse me, missed 5 of their last 7 shots at the foul line. So they went just 2 of 7 at the foul line after leading by 10 with 7:27 remaining. They had multiple opportunities in this game to put Yale in a really bad position at the foul line. Most notably, Denver Jones went to the line with a 1-1. He was Auburn's best free throw shooter this season. He's been their best free throw shooter all year. It's also worth noting they didn't have Chad Baker-Mazzara on the floor. He's been shooting that 10-game stretch that I mentioned just a few minutes ago. He has been shooting 90.2% from the foul line during that stretch, and so you didn't have him on the floor. Jani Broome, you know, I was wondering when he went to the line if he was sort of having some flashbacks to last season when he went 6 of 16 when Auburn lost to Houston in the NCAA tournament. But credit to Jani Broome, because he actually went 2 of 2 at the foul line late. He was the only guy who was able to get a couple of those free throws to go. Denver Jones, like I said, best free throw shooter on the team. He missed the front end of the 1-1, and so that got the ball back to Yale at a crucial part of the game. And then Danny Wolf was fouled immediately after, and he made both of his free throws. Yale was previously up by one. Then they went up by three. Jani Broome obviously was able to bring it back by one, back to one with both of his free throws. And then Trey Donaldson missed a three. Auburn missed multiple shots at the basket. That's kind of just a wild scramble. But again, Auburn didn't go away. They had an opportunity. Katie Johnson made a driving layup for an and-one opportunity. He missed the free throw, but the jump ball went to Auburn with 6.8 seconds left. It was right under the basket. Jalen Williams in a baseline out-of-bounds play, which is obviously where Bruce Pearl thrives. Those are the kind of plays all season long that you've wanted Auburn to be in. It was a great play. They ran it immediately to Trey Donaldson under the basket. He missed both free throws, though. And then whether the second one was intentional or not, you get a guy who's been a decent free throw shooter this season. You get him going to the line in a two-point game, and Trey Donaldson missed both of them. Missed both of them there at the end. But still, Auburn had an opportunity. KD Johnson couldn't make a contested three-pointer on the wing, and Auburn ended up losing the game. Yeah, 82.9% on the season this year is Trey Donaldson at the foul line, and that on top of a guy like Denver Jones, who's 88% at the foul line. So again, you know, it comes down to more than just one play. It comes down to more than just one free throw. But at the end of the day, this was Bruce Pearl's best free throw shooting team, or his second best free throw shooting team. Can't remember how the numbers played out, and they had multiple opportunities at the end of the game to either put themselves in a position to tie, send the game to overtime, or potentially put themselves in position to win it, and they weren't able to do so at the foul line. Sort of zooming out to some of the other trends in this game that got Auburn out of sync, the assist to turnover ratio wasn't there. Again, we mentioned this team in the half court. Their game plan against Yale was to just kind of face up and play their normal type of defense, not gamble for much, because Yale is a team that they thought, okay, if we sit there and play defense for 40 minutes, for every push them to the end of the shot clock every time, our physicality and our depth is going to be too much to handle. And especially if we start running them, it's going to be too much to handle. Well, surprisingly, the fast break points favored Yale in this game. 19-11, Yale had the advantage in transition points in this game, and that's because Auburn didn't do a decent job taking care of the ball. We mentioned those 7 turnovers in the last 7 or 8 minutes of the game. Auburn ended up having 9 turnovers in the second half, and that was a big reason why every time it felt like Yale, was just hanging around and Auburn was in a position, it felt like they were so close to putting the game on ice, 2 or 3 different times midway through the second half, but they'd either have a turnover. I thought a really, really key play was, I believe, Katie Johnson had a 3-on-2 fast break. And as soon as he got it, we were all kind of thinking, or at least I was kind of thinking in my head, it's late in the game, probably slow it down. Don't do the normal Katie Johnson thing of trying to create contact, just because you don't need that at this point in the game. And the officials didn't call anything when he sort of ran into a pile of Yale players, and it was immediately a turnover and immediately a foul for a team that was in the double bonus at that time. So Yale was able to go to the free throw line. So just out of sync offensively. It's a game where Auburn shot 51% from the floor, but ended up having only 11 assists on 27 made baskets. And so when you look at Auburn's body of work as an offense this season, they really, really struggled when they had that kind of assist to turnover ratio. This is obviously a negative assist to turnover ratio, which they're not used to. And that was really the main thing that sort of threw this offense out of whack. At the same time, they had their opportunities at the end of the game and just weren't able to take them in what will end up being one of the biggest upsets in March Madness this season. So at the end of the day, what does this loss mean for Auburn? Of course, this is a highly successful season for Bruce Pearl in year 10. Regardless of the way that it ends, it's got to be a bit frustrating for Auburn fans at this point. The fact that they have not returned to the second weekend of the tournament since that Final Four run. And now you've had, you know, a couple different iterations of teams going back to Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler. Of course, that was a pretty big disappointment for them. Now, we kind of saw that one coming because of the way they played down the stretch of the season. Maybe not in the fashion that it happened. I believe it was a 16-point loss to Miami. Maybe not that sort of fashion. Then you have last year's team that felt like it maybe overachieved in terms of what it accomplished in the tournament, winning one game as a 9 seed and then giving Houston all it could handle for a half, leading by 10 at halftime, and then ultimately losing to a 1 seed, which obviously there's no shame in that. But you know, this team felt like it was in a better position than those other two in terms of how they had been playing in the latter portion of the season. And I think that's why a lot of people saw them as a trendy pick to go far in March Madness. And honestly, I'm sure it's a big disappointment for this team. You know, I think the Sweet 16 was sort of the baseline for what this team wanted to accomplish. Obviously, you know, you would have had the potential matchup with UConn there. And so it's a very big disappointment because Pearl and the staff and the players and obviously the fan base thought that this team had so much more in the tank. And that's kind of what players were saying after the game. The biggest thing was the shock of just realizing you know, how much the word that Dylan Cardwell used was underaccomplished, you know, the how much this team still had left in the tank, how much they, you know, they thought they could do in March Madness, how well they had been playing, and for it to just suddenly come to an end because of a bad performance, because of a bunch of things that went wrong for them in this game, was a big shock. It was a big shock to this team. Now, I do want to talk about something that we mentioned on our selection show, and that is, or our selection show podcast, and that is, you know, the importance of that team winning that SEC tournament championship. I thought Jason made a really good point on the selection show podcast that, you know, teams like Kentucky and others and other conferences, you know, they may not make as big of a deal about winning a conference tournament. But look, if you're Auburn, winning any sort of SEC championship, and that will end up being, you know, it is the fourth SEC title under Bruce Pearl for Auburn, whether it's the regular season or whether it's the tournament, that is still a big deal. And so I think now that carries even more importance for this team. Because, you know, while they will be remembered for this upset, you know, it's going to be something you think about and you mention every time you mention this team, you've also got that banner that's going to hang behind that. Whenever you talk about this Yale game, you'll also talk about the fact that just 5 days earlier they won an SEC championship in Nashville. And so, you know, it gives a special collection of players because this is a special team. Bruce Pearl and the players have talked about it all season long. Look, Bruce Pearl said it earlier this week. Somebody asked him, what does this team have to do in your eyes to be a great team? You know, do they have to make it to the Sweet 16? What do they have to do? And Bruce Pearl, you know, he wasn't necessarily saying it's gravy at this point, but he said, this team has done it. They've proven me they're great, that they don't have to show me anything else to prove to me that they are a great team. What he said was, everything else from here on out is just opportunity, and it's whether they can take advantage of those opportunities and put themselves in position to continue to succeed and continue to have an opportunity to make a run. Of course, they didn't do that, but that, you know, that doesn't take anything away. Of course, we'll have a lot more, you know, to talk about over the next couple weeks in terms of sort of a postmortem for this season. But this particular upset loss, although it is really painful, I'm sure, for Auburn fans, and it's a big surprise and it stings, it does not take away from the fact that this is a 27-win team that had a bunch of great moments this season, has an All-American in Jahni Broome, has the winningest player in program history in Jalen Williams, ended up being analytically Bruce Pearl's best team, a team that played with a ton of depth, a team that won 26 games by double digits, which is still an insane sentence to say, and they also won an SEC championship. And again, I think the ring that they won in Nashville is going to end up mattering a lot for this team because it gives them something to look back on, because pretty much every high-level team at Auburn under Bruce Pearl has accomplished something unique. That team back in 17-18 was Auburn's first SEC championship in forever. course, they went from being picked, I believe, you know, 10th in the league, four and 14 in the league, to winning the regular season. You had the SEC tournament team that made the Final Four. Of course, a couple huge accomplishments there for that team. You had what is going to probably be the best regular season team at Auburn in a long time, for a long time, in the Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler team. That team, of course, won an SEC championship, a couple All-Americans on that team as well. And then this team, you know, the fact that they were, they were so good in the regular season analytically, you know, they add that SEC tournament championship to it. And so those four teams now all kind of get something unique to look back on. But at the end of the day, there will be the caveat, you know, there will be the caveat of, hey, this team has not advanced to the second weekend, despite having a couple really, really strong teams that were expected to do so. And here they're held back by, you know, an upset loss of pretty historic proportions. You know, this is something that sort of comes with the, and I was talking to somebody about this tonight, this sort of comes with the target that Auburn has on its back now. Think about some of the top programs in the country over the last, you know, well, really over the, you know, the last, you know, their entire college basketball history, but just think about the recent upsets, I guess I would say, over the past decade, you know, 15 years. You know, teams like Kentucky can't get out of that rut right now. Duke has, you know, a handful of these types of losses that you can point to. Upset losses in the first round or the second round against teams they have no business losing to. Auburn is now a team that people look at as saying, you know, they get seeded highly, of course, and it is a big upset loss for them because of the expectations that Bruce Pearl has put on them and put on this program. And so it's a disappointing day, of course, for Auburn here in Spokane for things to come to an end so suddenly after such a successful season that, there's no denying that this was a great success for Auburn. I mean, they finished tied for second in the league after being picked sixth, but obviously they felt like they just left a lot on the table in terms of their NCAA tournament aspirations. So what's to come next for this team? You know, talk to guys like Dylan Cardwell, who has a COVID year. Katie Johnson was not in the locker room after the game, but you know, Chris Moore, those guys who could use a fifth year if they choose to do so, and if Auburn chooses to do so with them. You know, Dylan Cardwell said he'll be going on vacation pretty soon and taking some time to think about it with his family. That'll surely be the case for all these guys. Jani Broome, by the way, he had that injury at the end of the game. Definitely felt like he was kind of being banged up the entire game. You know, it was a physical game where he was on the floor a lot. Maybe felt like that was the straw that broke the camel's back there, and he was just in a lot of pain there at the end. But I definitely think he's okay. He was in the locker room. He wasn't getting any sort of special treatment from trainers. He was up moving around. It just felt like if there was a big problem, if there was something actually wrong with his knee. I know it looked bad at the end. His parents were down there. But I just feel like if there was something wrong, that trainers would have been with him, and he wouldn't have been able to just move around so freely. We did ask him afterwards, and I didn't want to talk to reporters, declined to comment on anything or interview with us at all. We asked him afterwards, though, about his knee, and he declined to talk about that as well. But I believe he will be okay. And so, you know, there's going to be a lot of decisions to be made. Of course, the transfer portal is already open. If any guys decide to leave Auburn, you know, I'd be surprised if the roster stays exactly the same. That's it's usually not the case in college basketball, and so we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that goes in terms of guys that Auburn is looking at. But, you know, there is time for that over the next couple weeks. And, of course, Auburn fans will look forward to bringing in another five-star point guard in Todd Pettiford. And Ja'Kai Howard as well is another top 100 player that will be joining this team next season. But there's plenty of time in the offseason, of course, to talk about what the checklist for this team looks like and what some of those personnel decisions might look like. At the end of the day here, as we record this late on Friday, March 22nd, Auburn's 2023-24 season comes to an end. Shocking upset here in Spokane, Washington, at the hands of the Yale Bulldogs. Hope you guys enjoyed this sort of reaction episode. We'll be back soon with some more spring football and anything that we can talk about in terms of ending this basketball season, putting a bow on it. And like I said, looking ahead to some of those personnel decisions that might be on tap for Bruce Pearl and his coaching staff. If you guys enjoyed it, go leave us a five-star review. There will be no bumper music this time around because, again, I am without my usual audio mixing setup, but we'll be back in Auburn soon. So Nathan King, go head over to auburnundercover.com for all of our coverage from this game and beyond, and we will talk to you guys later.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future. New documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount+. Go to Paramount+ to try it free. Terms apply.